I tried to prepare a little bit. It's pretty straightforward in what we're going to do. Yirtzeh Hashem. Okay, so here we go. Pasuk Beis. Let's just turn on the computer. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaray.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. Oh, Marcus here. Just in time.
Where are the Wienfelders here? Shalom Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom. Thank you.
Just in time. Okay, here we go. So Pasuk Beis says, Chaneini, like the microphone. Chaneini Elokim Chaneini Ki V'cha Chosoyo. The word Chaneini here appears twice. We'll see a beautiful Rashi in a few moments with a story from Yaakov Kamenetsky, one of my favorite stories. We'll go over that. I probably told it to you 10 times, but we'll go over it anyway. Chaneini Elokim Chaneini, show me favor, Elokim Chaneini, show me favor. Twice, repetition. Repetition. Ki V'cha because in you, Ki V'cha because in you, Chosoyo. In you, I have put my refuge. You, Hashem, are my refuge. Nafshi, ki v'cha chosoya nafshi. They go together. My neshama seeks in you refuge. It seeks in you shelter. Uvitzel kinafecha echseh. And in the shadow of your wings, echseh. In other words, which means also shelter. I seek shelter. Add until Yavar Havos, until all of the harm, the evil. Havos means the avil, all of the iniquity, all of the terrible things that people try to do in this world until it passes. Evil, there are a lot of beautiful yisodis mispasik. First of all, it says over here, "Vitzol kinefecha echseh," in the shadow of your wings. You know, there's a very big machlokes in the Kelmale. You say tachas kanfei hashechina or al. It's a very controversial topic. Underneath in the Kelmole, that take the neshama, and then it should be underneath the kanfei hashechina. And some have the girsa, and some are very passionate about this. I've seen written up certain that chas v'shalom to say tachas. The correct nusach is al, upon. Al kanfei that's kanfei hashem.
The wings protect the person.
Oh, so in this pasuk, it says exactly that.
Yeah.
It says chosoyim means refuge. So, however, there's a lot to be discussed because there's a medrash that says that the difference between the goyim and klal yisrael is that the klal yisrael, they are on top of Hashem's on the kanafim, and the goyim are tachas, the tzaddikei umay sa'olam. So it's a very interesting thing, but as Mordechai Mintz has pointed out,
another comparison that the bird who is less afraid can carry underneath, so that because it's not
nothing flies.
That which it is.
Rashi and Chumash. Vo'esa eschem al kanfei nishana. There Hashem is carrying us. Al kanfei hanashadim. Rashi there says all other birds are afraid to put their children on their wing because there's always other birds that are flying higher. And there's a fear that a bird that's above them will snatch their children from on top of their wings because there are birds that are flying at a higher altitude. The nesher does not have that problem. Because the nesher flies at the highest altitude. So what is the nesher afraid of? A missile. That someone will shoot an arrow from down on the ground. So therefore the nesher puts its children on top of its wings. On top because it has nothing to fear above. And Adrabah holding its children in its legs is dangerous because maybe someone on the ground will shoot an arrow. Mutav, it's better the arrows go in me and not go into my children. At any event, over here, let's see the mitzvah on this pasuk. Remember, this mizmar is broken into two parts. The first part of the mizmar is David is giving shevach vaidat Hashem.
In
the Ashkenaz, it says al by the Kelmole. Okay, there are different nuschois. There are different nuschois. Is it al kanfei or tachas kanfei? Obviously, when we talk, it's over here, as you pointed out correctly, it's over here we're dealing with chosoya, shelter. The wings provide shelter. Look at the Kruvim. Look at this week's parasha. The Aroin, and on top of the Aroin there are Kruvim, and the Kruvim are Soichim b'chanfeim al hakapores. They're providing shelter on top of the Aroin. The primary purpose of the Kruvim is to spread out its wings in order to provide tzel, protection for what is underneath it. Underneath it. Yet there are other elements of the wings which the focus is not what is below it but what is above it. Here this pasuk clearly implies that the benefit of the wings is to provide shelter beneath it, underneath it. Let's see. Look at the mitzudas David. Pasuk base. The mitzudas pasuk base says chaneni lekim chaneni. So right away, the Mitzudas is disturbed. Why does it repeat the word Choneni twice? So okay, so the repetition is nothing more than an expression of desperation. Okay, like a person that is crying, he repeats himself because that's the way Hashem made. That's the human condition. People that are desperate, they repeat themselves. Achar shenotzel atomiyo the yirdov shuv acharai, vani echese boch ad asher yavar havois mikol v'chol. He's actually, as he's saying over here, another reason why it's repeated choneni and choneni. Seeing without saying the mitzudas, without saying it outright, is that even though we'll get through one battle, the war is not over. There are multiple battles in a war, and if we survive one battle, we can expect there to be another battle and another battle and another battle until the war is won. And David here says, I have faith in you, Hashem, that the same way you will protect me from this battle, you will protect me from another battle. There are always...
By the way, there is two reasons, he says. Choneni Elohim, number one, because you are midat harachamim. So that's why choneni. And second reason, choneni kivecha chasiti, because I am...
There are many dimensions.
That's why you have a mafsuch there.
Okay, that's another shot, another interpretation.
I see the bomb and will bring the midrashic explanation.
Okay, so let's see the midrashic explanation right away. I didn't really pay attention to that Malbim, even though I believe I did prepare that. But let's see over here what you just mentioned. The Malbim pasuk beis chanin lekim chanin hakefel lechazek kederech hatzek shakefel devada. That's exactly what the Mitzvah said. Chosoya hayut murasahei. Okay, now you're just taking point over here. I'm doing another Malbim, page 499, the whole point of the Malbim. So I'm going to the Malbim. Chosoya, he's focusing over here on the grammar of the word. The word chosoya is to seek refuge. Hayud Tmura Sahei, Lamra Poal. The Yud is in place of the. Hayud. You told me the Malbim, no? Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. I read the Radak. I made a mistake. Okay. Okay, let's really do that. I'm sorry. Let's see the Malbim on the very, very bottom. The very, very bottom of page 499. The very, very bottom of the page in the Malbim pasuk beis choneni elokim choneni ad yavar havois, until the havois, the treachery, until the evil passes. Mevakish sheyichunehu Hashem ad sheyavar ha havois v'yashevim neged panav ritzon lemar. Ad Shayavu Shol Vanoshav Mipo, until Shol leaves. The Kof Al Milas Choneni Ki Hoyat Tzor Chanina Achas, he needs a double grace. Number one, She Yiskaber Al Yitzroy V'lo Yaharoy Geshol Bambo Oro. Number two, V'chanina Hashene Shalo Yahargenu Shol Achaka Kishayiro Isai. I should not kill him and he should not kill me. This is really what Rashi says. He's asking for a double chain, that I should be able to control myself and not overreact. And not necessarily overreact, but in this case, David did not want to kill him.
I didn't see the Rashi, but anyway, either way, it comes
right. From the Medrash. In you I put my read it backwards, my neshama seeks refuge. Shenafshoy, turn the page. I'm having a hard time turning the page here. My pages are stuck together. my neshama where does it go to? Shenafshoy. Shenafshoy. Haruch. It's on the next page. It's on page 500. right below Rashi on the right side, Haruchanis, he choisa v'Hashem. The neshama seeks refuge in Hashem. It's a spiritual expression. Sheyatzil oisa mibo bedamim laharoig Mashiach Hashem. If I do an avera, if I commit a crime, if I kill the Mashiach Hashem, then my neshama is in a lot of trouble. So I'm seeking refuge in you, Hashem, to protect my neshama from acting aggressively in doing something that is not correct. Lahar v'al hasheni amar v'tzel.
He's calling Shol
Mashiach Hashem. Shol is the Mashiach Hashem. Shol was the anointed one. V'al hasheni amar v'tzel chinefecha echase. The wolf, Shalom Aleichem, good morning. And the second one, V'al hasheni amar v'tzel chinefecha echase, shehu chesyon gufoy b'Hashem, that I should not be killed. Shelo yehoreg. I should not be executed. He compares this to a bird who shelters its chicks. Tachas kinafav bevoy aleihem ayit hatarif. When the vulture comes to snatch away the children, the bird shelters its young underneath its wings. So this is very interesting. Over here, we're staying over two different ideas. He's saying in this pasuk there is spiritual according to the Malbim. Rashi is a very bekitzer, but the Malbim elaborates and he explains over here that there are two different elements. There is David's neshama and David's guf. David is afraid that his guf, let's go backwards, that his guf, his body would be, he would die, he would be killed, and that's the second part of the pasuk. Uvitzel kinofecha echese. May I find shelter. Rav Meir Appeldorf never comes late. He never comes late.
He was here early, okay.
Uvitzel kinafecha echaseh. So this second expression refers to the gashmius. You don't have to feed me. I'm not a bird. Uvitzel kinafecha echaseh. This refers to the guf, the gashmius, that my body should not be taken, and he compares it to a bird who shelters its young underneath its wings. Maybe that's one of the reasons why in the nusach of the Kel Mole, we don't say, Yastrei Olakim Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. I'm just thinking out loud with you, because maybe Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, Tachas, as the Malbim explains, is a form of protection for the body. The person is no longer here. Once a person leaves this world, then he doesn't need any longer that Hashem should protect him. Tachas kanfei hashchina. Now he's in a spiritual world, and the shelter is al kanfei hashchina, upon his wings. Tachas, according over here to the Mitzvah David over here, is a marshal for gashmius. My guf should not be killed due to Shol. The first part of the pasuk where he says the word nafshi is referring, in you Hashem I seek refuge, is to help me, a person that I should not behave, do an avera, and kill the Mashiach Hashem. Now there's a lot of controversial things over here that it says in the Malbim, because first of all there's a whole discussion, can the person really pray to Hashem that he should not do an avera? A person generally daven to Hashem for gashmius. Not doing averos is up to you. That's your free will. Who says that your prayer to Hashem that I not do averos has any effect? Hashem gave us the koyach of tefillah to ask Hashem to provide for us physical things, that we should live, we should be healthy, we should have opportunity, we should have parnasa. 99% of our tefillos are really prayers for gashmius and prayers for opportunities for us to engage in ruchnius. But to actually make a decision, Hashem, I daven to you that you should control my yetzahara. I should not do an avera. I have a taiva. I want to do the avera. It's very, very difficult for me. Hashem, I pray to you, Hashem, that you should subdue my Yetzer Hara. Is there such a thing? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes, but it's a controversial kind of, we say in davening, שתהצילני היום בכל יום, מאז איפנו, מאז פונו, מיודם, מחבר, משחר, מפגרו, ומסוטון המשחיס. אלוקאי ניצור, אלוקאי, but not in the main שמונה עשרה, not in the main שמונה עשרה, you don't say it. In the main, you say in the Havarabba, v'hoher einenu b'sorasecha, v'dabek libeinu, b'mitzvayzecha, v'yached levaveinu, li'ahava u'li'yira, es shemecha. So we do mention prayers of spirituality, a request to succeed in ruchnius. Ruchnius, isn't that your free will? Most of the tfilois are tfilois of gashmius and opportunities for us to then use those opportunities, whether it's in money and time or in different situations, to engage in ruchnius. But the actual decision to do a mitzvah, if not for the fact that we do find it in the Nusach HaTfilah in unique instances, one would say that no, that's your free will. Hashem is not part of that decision. And you see, and it's not so. You see that a person can be mispalel to Hashem. That is all part of a person's hishtadlus, that a person can daven to Hashem, that Hashem subdue his yetzer. Not, we're talking about in a healthy way. Not talking about subdue my, by giving me a medication that will, dull my taivas, things like that. No, we're talking about a healthy, in a person as a situation, and Hashem should infuse me with Yirah Shemayim, that I should then make my decision not to do an Aveira. That's Chiddush.
The tefillah that we go into Beit HaMidrash, Shismichu bi chaveray v'ani esmach bam, because there is a competition.
Right. Yeah.
So,
Kina Seifrim.
I'll be happy with them, and they should be
happy with us.
And also, Yaakov Gamken said, "Vayira Yaakov meod vayetzel lo, shelo yeharek, shelo yaharok."
So there it says that you really hit upon something very, very powerful. There it says in the opposite order. We're going to talk about this in 1 second. You're touching upon something very, very powerful, excellent. And what Rashi over here says, okay, but this is the basic thing. Let's discuss one thing at a time. First thing we can do over here with Michal Miller. Michal Miller over here is putting over here a very important insight. Over here in this pasuk, there are two different sections. According to the Malbim, the first section deals with David being mispalel to Hashem to influence his mind. Control my natural reflexes. Whether you want to say maybe it's a natural reflex, someone's trying to kill you, what do? It's a natural reflex. Self-defense. It's a natural instinct. If someone touches someone, you put your hand in fire, you take your hand out of fire. Someone tries to go and kill you, you kill them. It's natural. David here is saying, Obi Hashem, control my natural instincts not to kill Shaul, because after everything said and done, Shaul is the Mashiach Hashem. He was the first Melech. He was anointed by Shmuel. He is the first, there's something to the first. Help me control my natural instincts not to kill the Mashiach Hashem. The second half of the pasuk is David is being mispalel to Hashem that I should not get killed by Shaul. So, and that's there's a lot of symbolism and unique expressions. The tzel kinofecha echaseh, and that's an expression of underneath the wings. Underneath the wings is according to the Malbim is an expression of gashmius. Protect me from physical harm. The first half of the pasuk where it talks about seeking refuge in Hashem, nafshi, my neshama chosoya, he's the bring mispalel, prevent me from doing an aveira. Okay, now let's look at Rashi. Rashi says the whole thing.
She is gaber al yitzro. In other words, not to carry my yitzro, that I should be this gaber on the yitzro. In other words, I still have free will.
Okay, right.
Maybe
okay.
Misgab,
fine, right. I should not do an right, okay, my yetzer. But you see, when you say about a yetzer, why is this yetzer a yetzer hara, or is this a natural
inclination,
a natural impulse?
Reaction.
It's a reaction. You're in battle, and someone tries to kill a person trying to kill someone. It is natural. It's a natural thing. Habolo hargo hashkem hargo. David over here is trying to control a natural reflex. Or is it no, David's being mispalel to overcome? It's not natural. I can control myself. Over here, it's just revenge. It's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer is telling this person, he tries to kill me so many times, I was so good to him, I risked my life for him, I went out to war for him, I did everything for him, I'm his son-in-law, he was married to Michal Bashol, I did everything. Okay, I remember by Israel Tauber, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, he was a heavy duty person in the world of Shalom Bayis. He used to lecture worldwide on Shalom Bayis. And he used to say, right, he used to do that for many, many years. He passed away 2-3 years ago. He had an organization called Shal Heves. He was a very inspiring person, and he used to talk about Shalom Bayis a lot. And I remember many years ago, he spoke in Tisha about Shalom Bayis, and he said that, you know, he deals with a lot of these issues, and divorce, there's nothing dirtier and uglier than, Rachman Litzlan, people that are involved in Shalom Bayis disputes. Why? Because they invested in each other so much love. It started out with so much trust and love and investment of that and Rachmana Litzlan, when it goes sour, then it goes to the other extreme. David over here invested in Shaul an enormous amount of emotion. This was his father-in-law. This was his, you know, he risked his life in war. He carried his weapons. He did everything. He sat by his table. He did everything for Shaul. Shaul was a father to David.
He played music for him.
Everything. Played music for him. He did everything. What did he not do? What did he not do for Shaul? Everything. And now Shaul goes and tries to kill him and is malish on him and persuades other people. He kills Noiv Yerak Yehanim. David certainly felt that he's been let down.
His world is shattered in the most
horrible way. Can you imagine what a drive? It's only natural for a person to go and seek revenge, and you're in control. It's not like it's a natural reflex. To a certain degree, it's okay. You did this to me. Okay, I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to fight back. And David here is being mispalel to control the Yetzer Hara. So we have a dilemma here. Is this prayer a prayer to control a natural reflex that has nothing to do with the Yetzer Hara? If a person puts his hand in fire, he pulls it out. That's not a Yetzer Hara.
That's instinct.
So maybe over here David is saying, you know, I have to control my instincts here. Because if I'm going to let my instincts take over, the end's going to be, it's not going to be good. I'm going to go kill the Mashiach Hashem. I don't want it on my record. I don't need on my record that I'm the one who killed Shaul. I don't need that. So I have to now pray to Hashem to control my instincts. Or no, maybe it's something much deeper. There's a Yetzer Hara. I've been let down. I've been disappointed. I feel I've been betrayed. And there's a Yetzer Hara when you're betrayed to take revenge. That's the way it goes. I hope no one's been in that situation. But when you're in that situation, when you feel you've been betrayed, let me go and strike back. And David here is being mispalel regarding the Yetzer Hara. Can you do such a thing? Can you actually pray to Hashem to lighten the power of the Yetzer Hara, or is that something that only you can do? Hashem put you in this world to make decisions. Bechira chavshes. And I think the consensus of most poskim is yes, you can. You can be mispalel to Hashem to subdue the Yetzer Hara. Part of the technique of overcoming the Yetzer Hara is learning Musar and is practicing being a good person, and also asking, being mispalel to Hashem for siyata d'shmaya in overcoming the Yetzer Hara. The consensus of most poskim is that yes, you can be mispalel to subdue the Yetzer Hara through the koich of tefillah. The koich, you mispalel to Hashem, you intervene and subdue my Yetzer Hara, not to.
I shouldn't be misgaber, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mamay.
Or maybe that way, or maybe Hashem should give me more gevura.
Okay, but then it's me again.
No, it's not you, because you on your own, naturally, if you go, a scientist would go into your mind, it would not be natural.
If you give me that gevura, then I'm still doing it.
Okay, fine. Okay, either way, there are different ways. But it's a koyach tefila. It's still, however you want to say, you want to say that Hashem is subduing the Yetzirah, or Hashem is giving more koyach to be miskabel of the Yetzirah. It's like kvitza saderech. It's kvitza saderech that you arrived there in supersonic speed, or is it that the place came to you? Okay, I didn't do anything. I just sat home and the makom came to me. Or did I go travel very quickly? But one thing is for sure, it's not natural. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu has intervened. Is that true? Is there such a thing where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can intervene and change the dynamics of the nisayon with the Yetzirah, either subduing the Yetzirah or you being given more gevura? This is a controversial topic. The consensus from the rule that I remember is like many over here were saying, suggesting over from the Nusach HaTfilah Tzmashma, that yes, that in addition to protecting yourself, in addition to erecting safeguards, in addition to learning Musar and working on your midos, there is also a koyach of tefillah, of prayer, which can have an effect, min hashamayim, to protect yourself from these things. And all that over here, obviously, is rooted over here. And when you learn what the Malam explains over here, chaneni elokim, chaneni ki v'cho chosoya nafshi, my neshama seeks refuge in you to prevent me from killing the Mashiach Hashem. What are we dealing with over here? Instinct? Or we're dealing with revenge? Rightfully so. Who wouldn't want to take revenge what Shaul did to David after everything David did for Shaul? Who wouldn't feel the need, the taiva? David was a passionate person. We learn over and over again, David's passion was unmatched, and such a type of personality. David would want to take revenge. How dare you? After everything that I did for you, this is what you do to me? And over here, David's being mispalat Hashem. Don't let that Yetzahara overcome me. Let me control myself because I don't want on my record such a horrible report. Okay, now let's go to Rashi. Rashi basically summarized the entire thing. And Rashi says over here, Chaneni, chaneni, sheloi eheroig, I should not kill. Vishloi eheroig, I should not be killed. Notice the order. The order is critical. I should not kill, and I should not be killed. So who is it? Rav Kalman mentioned? Vayira Yaakov me'oid, vayetzer loy. Rashi in Parashas vayishlach. Vayira Yaakov me'oid, shelo yehoreg. I should not be killed. Vayetzer loy, shelo eheroig. I should not kill someone else. I should not kill Esav. Yaakov did not want on his slate to kill Esav either. Kill Esav. Now, obvious. So question: the order is the opposite. Haloi Dover? It's the opposite. So the obviously right away you're going to say there's a very fundamental difference that Esav is the Esav Harasha, and Shaul, after everything said and done, is the Mashiach. As Mordechai Mintz pointed out, is the Mashiach Hashem. So when you're dealing with the Mashiach Hashem, with the Mashiach Hashem, that changes the dynamics, the priority. He's the Mashiach Hashem. At the end of the day, we both want to walk away alive. We have a conflict here. Okay, we have a conflict. At the end of the day, we want to walk away alive and somehow resolve our conflict peacefully. And what's the priority? Is the priority that I should, a yesod in life is always, there has to be priority. This is a Musa Haskell they all teach, is people make this mistake all the time. They think that they think that you could have everything. You can be a massive Talmud Chacham and you can be phenomenally wealthy. It is Sheker V'Chazav. There's no such thing in life as having everything. There has to be, in everything a person does in life, there has to be priorities. If you get lucky, siyata shmai, you may end up with everything. Okay, no one's denying that there are people that have a lot of everything, but you know the basic rule is a little of everything adds up to a lot of nothing. This is the yesoid hachayim. You have to have a priority. and stick with it. And if you'll get lucky, you might get lucky. Some people get lucky; they have quite a lot of everything. But it's a very dangerous, an extremely unhealthy attitude to think that you can have everything. There has to be an ikur and a tofel in everything you do in life. What's the ikur? What's the tofel? So here in this pasuk, the ikur is I should not kill the Mashiach Hashem. If I can only have one of the two, better I get killed and I don't kill, so that I do not kill the Mashiach Hashem. Halavai, I get both, that I don't get killed either. But that's not the priority. The priority is I should not kill the Mashiach Hashem. Esav, pumfakert. The priority is I don't get killed. If it has to come to it between me and him, let Esav die. I'll take it. It'll be on my record. I have a criminal record. I killed Esav. Let it be. As long as I don't get killed. The priority is I do not, because Esav is not worth it. He's not worth it. He's a Rasha. He just ain't worth it. So the priority by Esav is I should not get killed. Let it. Halavai, halavai. Vayir Yaakov mod vayetzer loy. I don't want to get killed, and I don't want to be responsible for killing Esav. Let Hashem take care of that. Doim lo Hashem v'hischoyle loy. You put your faith in Hashem, and Hashem will cause all of your enemies to collapse. Chalolim, chalolim will collapse the slain victims. There's a priority. When it comes to the Mashiach Hashem, the priority is I don't want to kill him, even if I have to die. When it comes to Esav HaRasha, he's not worth it. Let him die, I'll kill him. Because I have, my life is more important. This is a Yesoid, a very powerful Yesoid. And you know, to appreciate the difference between the two, one pasuk is incomplete without the other. You know, if you don't learn this pasuk over here in Chaneni, Elokim Chaneni, and see what Rashi over here says, Shaloi Eheroig, Vishaloi Ehoreig, if you don't learn this together with Vayir Yakabud Vayet Seloi, you mamash, you're missing the whole pshat, because you can get lost. I want to tell you a story. I told the story to you probably 10 times. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, this beautiful, and the story really made a powerful impression in the story. A boy, I saw this in the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Per is Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Far Rockaway. Okay, he's a Balmusa. He used to give shiurim the altar from Navardik. What Avoidas? What is the name of his sefer? He wrote a sefer called I forgot what it's called. He used to give what's called Vadim, like Musa Shmuzim to Talmidim, on this sefer, a certain Musa sefer, and someone recorded all of the shiurim and they wrote it up. And they published already 3 volumes. I have 2 of them. I read 2 of them. They're so good. It's off the charts. They're biting, it's haunting. No one would publish this. A regular publisher article would never publish this. It's too sharp. It's way too sharp. It's way too sharp for any publisher. In fact, it was published privately. They published 3 volumes, and it's unbelievable stuff. And there he says a story where a boy came into Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, came to shiur late to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And in Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's shiur, the rules were you don't come late. You don't walk in late. No such thing. That was the way he gave shiur. That's how it was in his day. You don't come in late. He came in late. So he said, "Why are you late?" So he said, "Rebbe, I was in a car accident today. This morning on the way to yeshiva, called the police, the whole maisa, took a lot of time to settle everything." So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said to him, "Did you hurt anyone?" So he said, "Baruch Hashem, no." And then he said to him, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Were you injured? Are you shaken? Are you okay?" So he said, "Baruch Hashem, I'm okay also." A few weeks later, the boy comes back to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and he says to him, "Rebbe, It's been a few weeks since that car accident, and it bothers me to no end. Why did you ask me first? Did you hurt anyone? And then you asked me, after I told you, Baruch Hashem, I didn't hurt anyone, you asked me, was I injured? Why? I'm your Talmud. Don't you care about me? Why the order of the way you asked the question, it shook me up, and it's been bothering me these last few weeks.
I see you.
Okay, so Mordechai is saying, a partial answer is that, well, you came in, you know, Baruch Hashem, the fact that you walked into the room, you look like you're okay. Okay, so that's the partial answer. Okay, the partial answer, if you walked in on your own 2 feet, so obviously you're okay. So the question then is, what I don't know. Okay, that bothered me also, that question, okay? But the boy still asked the question. Yaakov Kamenetsky says, I did it on purpose. This is what it says in the book, is a person's first obligation in this world is do no harm. Do no harm. And that's right, when you came in, the question to teach you a lesson, did you hurt someone? All about you, you come in, Baruch Hashem, I came out scot-free. I killed someone, that's their problem. That's not the way you live your life. Your person's first obligation is what it says over here in this Rashi. Sheloy eheroi. I don't cause harm to someone else. And then, if Baruch Hashem, you didn't cause harm to someone else, then are you okay? I did it on purpose. That's the Musa Haskel. Your first obligation is to someone else, not to yourself. So I remember that story. That story somehow it always resonates in my mind. And every time we come to Parashas Vayishlach, Vayira Yaakov Me'oid Vayetzer Lo, it bothers me. I remember that story. Every time we come to that Rashi says, I should not get killed. And I should not kill someone else. What does Rashi mean? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. How could Rashi be choylik on Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky? My high. Well, the answer is, look at the Rashi here in Tehillim, Mizmon and Zayin, Shaloi Eheroig v'Shaloi Ehoreig. And now we have a stira. It's the same Rashi. And the answer to the stira is obviously, here we're dealing with the Mashiach Hashem. And there we're dealing with Esav Harasha. Obviously, Yaakov Kamenetsky felt that most people in this world are not begeder Esav Harasha. You go Basaroiv. Most people, even Goyim, not every Goy is Esav Harasha. Not every Goy is a politician. Not every Goy is Esav Harasha. And who knows? Who knows? You don't know. You know, a person walks out and can have a car accident with a fellow Jew. Okay, chveses. You don't know. So Mamela, you're dealing with the average person. You're not dealing with Esav Harasha. The priority is this Rashi. Sheloi eheroig v'sheloi ehoreig. The first priority in life is do no harm. Okay, when the person... It's a very powerful muscle. People in life, they're looking, they're yearning for greatness. People, they wake up in the morning, today I'm going to get covered. I'm going to make money and covered, and gadlusach, and this and that. Wait a minute. You wake up in the morning, you should hope and pray by the end of the day, you have done no harm. Before you worry about all your gadulus, and all the money you're going to make and all the great things, a person's first priority in this world is do no harm. Person can leave this world and they can be masked, the person, they can say, what did he accomplish in this world? I don't know, not much. But one thing we can say, he didn't cause anyone harm. That's pretty good. Most people can't say that, unfortunately. Okay, we live in a very selfish, aggressive world. Man eat man. And there are a lot of nisyonis. There's a lot of nisyonis to take advantage of other people and cause people tsar and this and that. in ways, you know, things that we don't even realize. It's subtle. It's not so subtle. It's a tough world out there. No one's denying it's a tough world. Priority one is this Rashi. Sheloi eheroig. Number two, if I get lucky, I'll get lucky. Vishloi ehareg, I won't be killed either. This is the first use. Then we can deal with all of the, you know, gadlos, kovoit, money, success, family, v'chulu v'chulu. Okay, so this is our story here. Let's now go to the next. Now here's another important thing. Ad yavar havois. This is a very important yisoid. This takes until the havois passes. In life, Rabbi, everything passes. Eventually, there's a storm outside. It's very cold. Let's say it's bitter, bitter cold. It's unbearable. Let's say you have sometimes there's weather outside that's just unbearable. It's extremely cold or extremely hot. You know, there's certainly, you know, you're talking to someone and you live at home, you put in an air conditioner. I remember we had a dilemma once. How many BTUs should the air conditioner be? So the answer, the solution was, on an average day, you know, like let's say in the attic where it gets sweltering hot, on the average day, so you know, an average air conditioner, I'm making an example, 10,000 BTUs is fine. Oh, but what about those days in the summer when it's 110 degrees? So we should get the air conditioner that has 20,000 BTUs. Guess what? On those days, the 20,000 BTUs is not going to help you either. It's not going to make a difference. When it's sweltering hot, there's nothing you can do about it. Just sit it out. When it's extremely cold, all the insulation in the house and all this is not going to make a difference. You do the average. Oh, but what happens when it comes those moments in time? You wait it out. Ad yavar hazam. In life, there's always situations, or uncomfortable situations, and the rule is, you can't fight it. There are situations, whether it's weather, whether it's politics, tolerate a politician that you can't stand, whether it's dealing with situations in life and all the whole, there are moments, just wait it out. Not every problem has a solution. Okay, people think every problem has a solution. It's not true. It's just not true. Not every problem has a solution. You have to wait it out. These words here are haunting. David says, I'm not asking for solutions. David's being mispalel here, ad yavar havois. I'm not looking for confrontation. David over here is a very wise man. I'm dealing with Shaul. I'm dealing with an army. I can't defeat this army. I can't. I'm just one man. I got a few friends. Most of my friends betrayed me. My children betrayed me. My Yoav betrays me. This one betrays me. Avishai, Nachitofel, Doeg. Everyone's abandoning David. Okay? It's realistic. It's realistic. I'm going to get up. I'm going to fight. I'm going to win. I'm not going to win. You're not going to win. You're not going to be able to. You can't fight City Hall. The most you can do is live to fight another day. Wait it out. And he writes that here. Choneni over here, they're coming to kill me. I don't want to kill him. Let him not kill me. And let me just stay low. Ad Yavar Havois. Until the treachery, until the evil, until the word Havois means the tzara, until the difficulty passes. Everything in life eventually passes. And you know, you just have to, you know, you need Siyad Hashmai, of course, that after it passes, you should still be around to enjoy what comes afterwards. We all know that. Okay, obviously, there are certain things, unfortunately, you know, it doesn't pass. Whatever, but there are many things. Wait it out. It's freezing. I mean, the wind, sometimes in the winter, I personally, I can't take the cold. I would rather go to Gehenna than go to an extreme cold. For me, Gehenna is going to be a freezer. Okay? There's some people, every person, some people... Some people, some Shabbos, they put you in the freezer. The Shabbos Gehenim. Okay, it's some people, they can't take the heat. In the summertime, they go out of their mind. They go out of their mind. They go mashugah. They cannot take the heat. So in the winter, I know people that do not own a coat. They literally do not have, they never purchased a coat. They walk, when it's 0 degrees, they walk in the shoe with no coat. Like a couple of weeks ago, they come on Shabbos, they put on gloves and a scarf, a coat. Kidding. It's delicious. There are people by me, like just the opposite. Everyone is different. And what do you do during these times? You cringe and you just wait. Ad yavar hazam. It's like that. And you see that mamish here. I read these words. It haunted me. Ad yavar havois. You got it. David says, I'm in a difficult matziv. I'm begging you, Hashem. I don't want to kill him. I don't want him to kill me. Let's wait. Wait for the Zam to pass, and then we'll go weiter. Yeah. Okay.
That strategy works
sometimes. Okay, it's not always a crouch. Everything is a balance. Mark, we all know that everything is a balance. It doesn't always work, you're right. There are situations you got to go to war. You're right, 100%, obviously, everything
sometimes
has to be taken in context.
Be too passive.
Right, too passive. Oh, absolutely, sometimes you have to confront head on and take the horn, take the bull by its horn. Absolutely. Everything, es ha-koil osa yofe bi'ita. But there is such a, there are some people. Everything has a solution. Every single thing. Oh, they have a solution to everything. And those people have a solution for nothing. They really have a solution. And some people, you're right, they're too passive. They don't assert themselves. It's also no good. Every as I call also yofe bi'itai. Okay, let's now go to the next, by the way, look at the Targum. The Targum will be something very interesting. The Targum here says, on this Pasuk Beis, Chus olai eloko, chus olai arum, have rachmanis upon me, okay, have arum, b'memrach, because, in your words, his rachatzas nafshi, it has sought, in your, he puts the word kivachon, means in your words. Okay, that's the point I wanted to make. That in you, Hashem. In other words, he learns. The Targum learns is, I have put my faith in your promises, in your haftoches, in the Torah. Hashem makes promises. V'hoya im shamoya tishmu el mitzvosai asher nochim mitzav eschem hayom lihalvas shem lokechem ulevdu b'chol levav b'chol nafshchem v'nasati mita artzchem mito. Hashem, I've done mine. If I've done mine, it is your duty for you to do what you promised. Okay, his rachatzas nafshi. I have put my faith I have put my faith in your words. Uvitlal shechintach, and in the shadow of your shechina, itayitus kinefach your shechina. Ehi rochitz, I yearn. Okay, rochitz means I have no rochitz. We say that in the Be'an Arochitz, and you, I put my faith, and here he says Ad Di'ibar Isri Gusha. I tie it to Havois, as we learned many times. Havois means the tzara, the raw. Rashi here says At Avor Horo'ah. Okay, and we learned in a Rashi not so long ago the same exact word he said there, the tzara. That's not what it says in the Targum. The Targum says Isri Gusha. He doesn't call it a tzara. The commotion is upheaval. Right, that's a very big difference. Well, not everything that you think is evil. Sometimes there's a change. There's a change taking place. There's a reset. Sometimes the reset is very, very evil. But sometimes there's a commotion taking place. And when there's a commotion, it's uncomfortable. And you just have to sometimes wait it out. If it's raw, see, this really answers the question someone pointed out. If something is evil, fight. Be a hero. Be a hero. Fight. You can argue. Sometimes if someone is committing a crime, someone is a Russia, someone is doing something, so you can't just sit back and do nothing. Stand up and fight. Give up your life in the sake you can't tolerate evil. But if it's, but sometimes it's not really evil. It's there is a upheaval. What is the upheaval about? Okay, you have to life is complicated. What's going on? Gotta be patient. You gotta be patient. When the market goes up and down, okay, is it bad or good?
It depends
who.
You're buying or selling.
So you can't go say it's evil. There are changes happening in society, and things are, the economy is vibrant, and things, just wait. Don't get overreact. Don't get worked up. Ad yavar havois. It doesn't say over here, ad yavar hazam. It doesn't say ad yavar hora. The Targum is a unique translation. Ad di'ibar isri gusha. Isri gusha does not mean evil. Does not mean netzara. It's like you said very good, Dr. Dove, you said it very good. It's the upheaval. Until the upheaval passes, just be patient. Sit it out and be patient. A lot of Musar. Dove was a very big psychologist. Very big psychologist dealing with the human condition. Okay, let's do another pasuk. Pasuk Gimel Ekro Lelokim El Yoyin.
Instances.
But he calls it Ra. It's a powerful word. What? The Zman. So it's pretty serious. The many different evil events.
However, it's all in one situation.
Okay. But it's a very different translation. We have the word havois, and not that long ago, I remember the word, we looked very carefully, what does the word havois means? It means tsara. Remember that word, tsara. Here he says ro'ah. It's interesting that the Targum doesn't say that.
Like in another place, it's
bidever havois. So there it also means usually the evil. The evil dever, the plague, it's a tsara. It's an ace tsara. When there's a dever, here it says word havois, which means ra'at tzara. But yet, for some reason, the Targum doesn't want to say that word. All right, let's go learn another pasuk over here. Let's learn one more pasuk. Pasuk over here says, "Pasuk Ekol Elokim Elyon." I call out to Elokim the Elyon, Lokel Goimer Oloy. What's the mean? What does it mean Goimer Oloy? The Mitzudois David says here, pasuk Elyon Hayoyshei Vashalam Imal. I call out to Elohim who is in heaven. The Yodoy Al Hoel Yoina. Interesting, very interesting way to describe Hashem. The Yodoy Al Hoel Yoina. He has the upper hand. The Ribbono Shel Olam always has the upper hand. What is the middle of the word Goimer? Hamashlim Ligmor Mashiftiach Oloi. It's like Gomel. It's Gomel. There's no lamed here, so it can't be that word, but it's like you would say Lokel. If it would have said the pasuk Lokel HaGoimel Oloi, I'll be very happy, because that would mean a typical word, which are Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is Goimel Chasodim Toivim. Hashem always provides reward. Hashem provides reward and punishment. The word Goimel normally means Hashem gives a person what they deserve. If you deserve reward, you get reward. You deserve punishment, you get punishment. Shaul deserves punishment, he'll get what he deserves. I, who had faith in Hashem, I'll get what I deserve, what Hashem has promised me. But it doesn't say the word goimel. It says the word goimer. This is a very unusual word. It's not your typical word, goimer. What goimer means to conclude. To conclude, they're teaching it here, they're struggling here. They're teaching it over here in the Mitzudos is Hamashlim Ligmor, to conclude Ma Shiftiach, what he promised Oloi. That's basically Gomel. Isn't that what Gomel means? Gomel Chasadim Tovim.
That's now. You promise something. Let's finish.
Finish it. But that's what it means to be Gomel. Gomel means Gomel Chasadim Tovim. You finish the job. You do a person, does a good deed. Hashem reciprocates and bestows upon the individual chesed. When Hashem gives the chesed, it's over. there's a cycle. A cycle has concluded. I've done the good deed, and Hashem has provided reward. Paid up. Paid up. What? Oh, so it's the same. So it's the same concept, right? It's the same concept. There has to be some.
He's saying we had an agreement. Let's go. Let's go where we started.
And the Farshim don't really explain over here. The Rid, look at the Rid. The Rid says the same thing. Goymer olai. Goymer. It's a very unusual expression. Goymer yashlim chastoy imi. Same exact thing. V'doymer loy Hashem yigmar badi. There's another pasuk. Yashlim tuvoy badi. What does the supporter say? Goymer olai shehischil lo yeshia. You have begun the yigmar. Finish the job. Finish the job. What does the Malbum say? Goymer kiloymar mashlim chastoy olai kiloymar kama pamim osa imi chesed v'ata yashlim olai chesed b'dvar hamalucha. Finish off the job. Give me what I deserve. Okay, I don't know more what to say. It's basically what you'd expect to see here. The word goymel, lokel ha goymel ha lokel goymel oloy, but it has a different word which is basically the same idea. There is no Rashi pasuk dalit yishlach mishamay me Hashem, dispatch from heaven salvation v'yoshieni cheref shayafisela. Now, here again, we had this unusual, very unusual concept. The Malbim repeats what he said before. The word Selah appears in the middle of a pasuk. This is very unusual. The word Selah, what does the word Selah mean? We always come back to this discussion. Is the word Selah just a word for forever? It's translated. Is the word Selah a musical note that has no translation? It's just a symbol for the conductor to know what to do when he conducts the orchestra and directs the singers. Or does the word Selah have another magical purpose that we're not aware of?
It's almost like full stop.
Or is, so you want to say it's a symbol? So over here, the Malbim does exactly what he did before, which is an amazing thing. It is an ancient form of parentheses. Okay, we have parentheses. We have a parenthesis in the beginning, and we have a left parenthesis at the end. Okay, and we have also many in English. We have many other symbols. You have a bracket, opening bracket, a closed bracket, a quotation mark, a closing quotation mark, a single quotation mark, a second, and you have to take out the MLA handbook on English grammar and know when to use a parenthesis, when to use brackets, when to use quotation, double quotation marks, single quotation marks. But usually we sandwich. We have bookends at the end and at the beginning. The Malbim says in ancient times they didn't have symbols. There's a word called Selah, and the word Selah means the next few words are a parenthetical statement that is not part of the main text. It's like parentheses in the middle of Tanakh. Could you imagine you learning a parasha and the Sefer Torah, and then in the middle of the pasuk, oh, there's parentheses. Okay, and the way we use parentheses, this is not part of the main statement. It's just a parenthetical statement to explain a certain. That's exactly how we tie to the word Selah in this pasuk. It's a parenthetical statement. May Hashem v'yosheini save me. Cheref shoafi. So what does it mean, Selah? It's an explanation, which means Yishlach Elokim chastai v'amitai. It's not part of the text. It's explaining what the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words are saying. It's an explanation. Basically, it's a hagah. 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 Let me explain to you what it means. You have this in the Gemara sometimes. Yeah, you have the Gemara sometimes. What in Savaroi? Right, there are certain sections of the Gemara where there are certain sections that don't really belong there, and they're really like inserts from the Rabbanan Savaroi, who came much later past the Chasimah Satalmud, to insert statements to preserve the Mesoira of what the Gemara really means to say. Well, Chasur Me'achsura, that was by design. By design. But you have to, it's like a Hagah. Hagah, parentheses, incredible. So when it says in the pasuk Yishlach Mishamayim, may Hashem dispatch from heaven, and save me. Chayreif, the insult. Save me from the insult of those people who want to swallow me alive. What does that mean? It means, parentheses, Yishlach Elokim Chastoi Va'amitai. What does that mean? May Hashem send His kindness and His truth. But that's not what it said. It says the Chayreif Shafi. So let's look at the Malvim. Let's look at the Mitzudas in the Malvim. First, let's look at the Mitzudas. Let's see how he said it in the Malvim. Mitzudas, Pasuk Dalit says, Chayreif, short, Shayafi, Sela, Mecherpas, Shayafi, from the insult of Shoafi, those who want to swallow me up, Yoshi'eni, may Hashem save me, Le'oilam. The Mitzudas Tava learns the word Sela is to be translated in English as forever. Yeah. Don't just save me today. Finish them off for good. Good riddance. They should no longer exist. Like the Pelishtim. According to most of the commentators, the Pelishtim don't exist. They're gone. They're totally off the face of the world. I mean, Le'olam, the David, they were a thorn in our side the entire era of Kibush Haaretz and beyond. And today, there are no Pelishtim. Today, the modern historians say the ancient Pelishtim do not exist. They're extinct, a people that has become extinct. Le'olam, they should never come around. We said there are 70 nations. So, you know, we know Sancheiriv came around and was Mebalbel all the nations. Before Sancheiriv was Mebalbel all the nations, four nations were wiped off the face of the earth. That's what Chazal say. They don't exist. They just don't exist. They're gone. They're no longer 70 nations. They were originally 70 nations, and four nations disappeared for whatever reason, and we're only left with 66. Or maybe with 64, what did I say, six nations? I'm getting confused. Four nations, I think, no, 64. I said six, I think six nations ceased to exist, so we'll have 64 nations. And then on top of that, Sancheiriv came in a challenge out of 64 nations. But six nations, they're not part of the equation, they're gone. Le'olam, David of the Yalpia, Richa Kodesh of the Yer, saying according to the Mishnah Stav, that these people are so evil. They're so evil, it's not enough to subdue them and let them live to fight another day. Get rid of them for good. Look at Dasan v'Aviram. Dasan v'Aviram, they're always making trouble. Always making trouble. From the very beginning, Moshe, they say to Moshe, lo misake, hal hargeni ato oimer. What would have been if Moshe would have eliminated them right then and there? They would have been gone. He would have killed them right then and there. Dasan v'Aviram. So then, he wouldn't have to deal with them with the mon. He wouldn't have to deal with them in Korach. He wouldn't have to deal with them in other times that they made trouble for Moshe Rabbeinu. You get rid of someone is a tzara, you get rid of them. Do yourself a favor. Otherwise, the pasuk ulitzininim bitzidechem, there'll be a thorn at your side forever. Who's asking? Also, what will you say? Well, if you're a religious person, you'll say, well, if it's bashert to have problems, if it won't be Dasan v'Aviram, it'll be someone else. It'll be someone else. You have to be mispalted. It's definitely true. But you also mechuyv do your shtadlus. You know, you make good investments. You have problems. You know, balance. Like we always say, Mark, balance. Sometimes you gotta pray. You have a worker. You have a business. You got a worker, and the worker is just a rotten apple. What? Oh, I'm going to be nice to him. I'm going to be nice to him and let him stay on. Yeah, he'll come to swallow you up when he has an opportunity. Get rid of him. What do you need the tzar? Oh, but if it's basher to have tzaris, so I'll have from someone else. Okay, but you have to still do your hishtadlus. You got to get rid of all the problems, whatever you have, whatever you know to do. Okay, in any event, over here, you got to really know. The Mitzudos David learns that this pasuk means Yishlach. He says the word Sela means forever. May Hashem, may you send, when you dispatch your salvation from heaven and save me. And we have to read the words backwards. Chayreif Shafi Sela, eliminate forever eliminate forever these wicked people who insult me and wish to swallow and wish to swallow me up. And then he concludes,
finish the job.
So therefore you say, our commonists say that the word Sela, it parallels the word Goymer. Okay, it's very good. Sela means forever, and Goymer means finish off for good. No loose ends. No loose ends here. It's good. The word Goymer, Goymel is not enough. Goymel, you bestow kindness. Maybe it doesn't have the flavor of finality. You want it to be complete. Okay, that's the Mitzvah over here.
Who's he attacking here?
He's attacking Shaul. Shaul and his men.
It seems sort of he's attacking the fellow
Shaul.
King in a very, very hard, even the Goyim doesn't
pass. Maybe, okay, maybe. He is very harsh. I mean, he rightfully so. He tried to kill him. He doesn't want to be the one. He doesn't want to be the one to do what he wants. He wants Hashem to be the one who does it.
It's a greater, you expect more from a fellow Jew. So that's why
there's more pain. The more expectation, the more tzar. Okay, let's finish the list of and the truth of your promise. Now look at the Malbum. Malbum, first Rashi, Cherif Shayafi, Yoshieni, Mikherpas Shayafi, Ho'oimer, who say live Oleni, who want to swallow. Shayafi, Ramachal, what's that word?
It says here, Golosa, long to swallow me up.
Swallow me up. The people who insult me and who are longing to swallow me up. Now let's see the Malbum. The Malbum Pasuk Dalit says Yishlach, Humaymar Muskar. This is a parenthetical statement. Sha'alze Moira Mila Sela. Shabob Emsa HaPasuk. Whenever the word Sela appears in the middle of the Pasuk, according to the Malbum, it's not to be translated as the word forever. It's a symbol. It's an ancient form of using what we use as parentheses. Uritzon Eloima, Yishlach mi shamayim v'yoshieni cheref shoafi, hine, shoyafai, those who want to swallow me up, v'soynai, mecharfim, they insult, they curse, v'oimrim, and they say lemor, what do they say? Yishlach mi shamayim v'yoshieni. Hey machalitim, they have decided she'ein li shum teshua b'derech hateva. There's no way they can eliminate me naturally. The oimim, they say b'derech halotza, with an expression she'i efshar she'ivosha. The only way I can be saved is rak im yishlach mi shamayim v'yoshieni ritzoyin aloymar she'tushu osi nimna. It's impossible. What they say as mocking, it's going to be true. So that's the way it's going to be. It's incredible what he's writing of the Malm over here is like really beyond what he's trying to say over here. MS. Yishlach alokem chastav amitay ritzayin aloymar she'ekru lokel elyal davin torah shemshir shem emes chastav amitay shani eini miyachal al teshua hiftiz. That's right, you got it. I'm not waiting for Yeshua to this rak al teshua sheyishlach li mishamayim, a miracle I'm waiting for. Bein mitzad chastav bein mitzad amitay v'avtachah she'hiftiach al yidei navi she'emlach. Let's review over here outside and then try to read it inside. What he's saying over here is, my enemies mock me and they say, David, the hair will grow on my palm before Hashem will save you. There's like a story like this with the Nazis. Remember the story like this? There's a story with one of the Nazis that said this to one of the big Gedolim. Hair will grow on my palm before you will be saved. So David says, Taka, so let hair be grown on your palm. And then miraculously, hair grows. The enemy say, David, there's no hope for you. You need a miracle. And guess what? Miracles don't happen. So you're done. And so David says, Taka, I need a miracle. And a miracle will happen. It will happen. Like I told you a couple of weeks ago, the Chazon Ish. A person said to the Chazon Ish, I'm in a lot of trouble. And it's al derech hateva, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm finished. There's nothing I can do. It's curtains. I need a miracle. Lav b'chol yoy misrachesh nisa. Doesn't happen every day, miracles. So the Chazon said to him, you're reading the Gemara wrong. You're in a lot of trouble, and you have a lot of problems, and you know what you're supposed to say? Lav. Don't worry about it. B'chol yoy misrachesh nisa. Miracles happen every single day. You'll be okay. Lav. Reject the inevitable. Reject it. Lav. You look at the situation. There's no hope. Lav. You're dead wrong. You're wrong to have that reaction. Lav. It's Purim. It's Chodesh Adar. B'chol yoyim misracheish nisa. That's this pasuk over here. What's the famous story? I told this story to you all 100 times with the play, the Maskilim. There was a boy learning in Kamenetz by Baruch Ber, and the boy wanted some entertainment, extracurricular entertainment. So he left the yeshiva, and what did he do? He went to go to a play to watch the Maskilim. And what did the Maskilim do during this play? They were making leitzonis of the Chofetz Chaim and Baruch Ber about Melchemes Goyig u'Magoyig. And they showed on the stage, on one side of the stage, they showed Goyig u'Magoyig with the most advanced weapons of mass destruction that the world has, all aimed and targeting Klal Yisrael. And then they show on the other side of the stage two old men. One is dressed up like the Chofetz Chaim, and one is dressed up like a Baruch Ber. And they have in their hands, from the 99-cent store, a Lag BaOmer bow and arrow, which doesn't even work. And the Baruch Ber and the Baruch Ber says to the Chofetz Chaim, "Nu, oh, wazoyche milchemes goyig u'magoyig. Nu, Chofetz Chaim, you're a koyein, davesha bekedusha, milchemes mitzvah, vikidashtoy, mechubid hagoyin, the Chofetz Chaim with the ershta shot, the first shot." The first shush, right? What are they called in Yiddish? The first, you could shoot, take your bow and arrow that you got from the 99-cent store and shoot it at Goyig u'Magoyig with the weapons of mass destruction, nuclear missiles and yuchvestish and drones and who knows what. So Chofetz Chaim says, nein, Rav Baruch Ber, you've been a Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashiva. Mechubid. It's Kedai, Kavarateire. You're Mechubid, you take the bow and arrow and you shoot the first shot. And the audience was laughing hysterically. And the curtain closed. And this yeshiva bacha was dejected, was in a lot of tsar. The leitzonus that the maskilim were making of Klal Yisrael. So he went to Rav Baruch Ber and he told him, Rebbe eschato ay ani maskir hayoim. I went to this play and this is what they did, and it bothers me to no end. Rav Baruch Ber was very disturbed. He started, they say, stroking his beard and pacing back and forth. And then he stopped and he said, you know something, Taka? That's exactly the way it's going to be. That's exactly the way Milchemes Goyig u'Magoyig is going to play out. There's nothing to be upset about. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. With the bow and arrow in the 99-cent store. And the Gedolei Yisrael will be fighting. Who shall be mechubit with the first shot? That's what it says here in this pasuk, according to the Malbim. My enemies, they make litzanis of me. They say, David, you're finished. You're done. We're your enemies. We insult you and we're going to swallow you alive. David, you need a miracle to survive. You need to say, Yishlach mishamayim v'yoshieni. David, miracles don't happen. We live in a world of teva. You're finished. They're making litzanis. You, David, You need to say now to Hashem, where's your God? Where's your religion? I know what you're going to do, David. You're going to say, Yishlach mishamayim v'yoshieni. This is what the cheref shayafi. This is the words, the insult. These are the words of insult. The pasuk here is doing you a favor. It's telling you what their words of insult are. The people who want to swallow me up, they insult me with the words, David, you need a miracle. No, say Hashem. Zog the Shem Hashem. Let's see all the miracles. Sela, parentheses. Taka, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. Sela, a parenthetical statement now. Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Your insult is the way it's going to happen. Taka, Yishlach Elokim Chastoy V'Amitoy. May Hashem send that miracle. That miracle is the emes of Hashem, and that miracle is the chesed of Hashem. The cheref, the insult of our enemies, is exactly the way it's going to play out. Sela is the parenthetical statement where David comes to say, Taka, their insult is going to be the way it's going to happen. A miracle will happen. Lav! Bechol yoim mishrach eish nisa. This pasuk mamish fits like a glove into the story of Rav Baruch Ber and the Chofetz Chaim, Melchemetz Gog Magog. Ve'letzonus, Sela? Yeah, that's right. Yishlach Elokim chasdei v'amitai. That's the Malbim. Isn't it an amazing Malbim?
So the account of the pasuk is the two expressions. Yishlach mishamal yoshi'eni.
Those are the words of insult.
Yishlach Elokim chasdei v'amitai.
Right. Twice. It's an explanation. One more time. Read it backwards. The Shoyafi, my wicked enemies who want to swallow me up, Cheref, they insult me. What are the exact words of mockery, of insult they say to me, David says? They say to me, David, you're finished. You need a miracle. You need to say now to Hashem, Yishlach mishamayim v'yoshieni. David, no, zog those words. Let's see the miracle happen now. We're going to chop your head off now. Let's see. Say the words. Let's see if Hashem will go and send you a miracle. No, zog, say the words. This is the insult. David, nothing's going to help you. You're finished. We're going to shoot you. You're finished. No. Let's see your God come to your rescue. Sela, parenthetical statement. David Taka says, that's right. You got it, you guys, your insult is exactly what's gonna happen now. Hashem will Yishlach will send Elohim Chastoy Va'amitoy and will save me. Your insult is not really an insult, because that's the way it's gonna play out. And the story of Rav Baruch Ber really gives life to this pasuk. And the word Sela, according to the Malbim, doesn't mean forever. It's not a message for the conductor. It is a parenthetical. The next words is David's response of explaining, they think they're mocking me. It's not, these are not words of mockery. This is indeed how it's going to happen. Hashem will indeed come to my rescue miraculously. Laugh! Bechol yoy, Mishrach Eish Nisa. It's Chodesh Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar. Don't you think we're entitled to some miracles here? Okay, Rabbi Yisai.
Today, the
Yard Side
of Ibn Ezra.
Oh, the Ibn Ezra, Zuchus Yagin Aleinu.
The yard side of the Shach. Okay. Shop side by Mayor. It's the yard side of the Dine of Bungar, the school of the Mayor. It's the yard side of a great uncle of mine, Isaac, Rabbi Tzvi Eichelstein, who's a Chayyah. And a lot of people.